I want you to stand as we read God's word this morning from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. So we're going to be swimming in the book of Hebrews here for the next few weeks, and Hebrews chapter 11 is a very special chapter. So I just want you to hear this as we read it out loud in the assembly of the believers. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 12 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offspring. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he's the rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore." Father, we love you. By faith, we've come here this morning. By faith, in walking with your son Jesus, we've left our homes to come to this house, to this place of meeting, to this assembly of believers. We come, Lord, to worship you this morning in spirit. We come, Lord, to worship you this morning in truth. We pray, Lord God, that you would speak into our hearts and into our lives. We know, God, that you are here and that you are with us, that you will never forsake the assembly of believers. Lord, we welcome you here. We come trying to learn and understand and grow in the knowledge of your son, Jesus. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come on us this morning and to speak unto us today. Give us eyes that we might see. We pray that you would give us ears that we might hear what it is that you would speak into our lives. We pray this for your glory and for your kingdom. And all those who love the Lord would say what? Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Hey, have you noticed in the entertainment industry that there's a theme happening right now? Superheroes is the theme in the entertainment industry. How many people here have seen Wonder Woman? You guys see Wonder Woman? I just saw it last week. I liked Wonder Woman. Spider-Man, anyone seen Spider-Man? My son said he didn't like it as much as Wonder Woman. If you've noticed, well, we had Guardians of the Galaxy and Star-Lord. That was good. It's tough to do a sequel. It's pretty good. I recommend it. Did you know that Disneyland has a theme this summer? Does anyone know what the Disneyland's theme is? The Summer of Heroes, right? They have new attractions, all built around superheroes. Our theme for family camp is Heavenly Heroes. And I encourage you to sign up. We're going to have a great time as we head up to the whole church. It's going to go away for family camp for the most part. And we're still going to have church here on Sunday, but we're heading up there. Our youth are heading up during the early parts of the week, and then the rest of the church is going to head up that week. And our theme is Heavenly Heroes. Our family camp video, I love that family camp video. Taylor did a killer job making that video, am I right? That was just so good. All of our actors were awesome in it. In this video, right, there's superheroes, but in the end, the superheroes see real heavenly work being done, and the superheroes are applauding a higher heavenly work of kingdom, right? It's a good video. We're going to give you another one next week that you're going to love, so don't miss next week. Hebrews chapter 11 is a very special chapter in the pages of Scripture. Some people call it Heaven's Hall of Fame. I kind of look at it, they're like a list of heavenly superheroes. When you read through Hebrews chapter 11, it's a New Testament book. It speaks of ordinary people used by God in not so ordinary ways, in supernatural ways for God's glory. We read people like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Moses and Rahab and David and the prophets. Ordinary people that by trusting in God, by having faith in God and what God said to them, brought them into something bigger than themselves for their lives. These people are ordinary people, but by hearing God's voice and trusting and believing in God, were propelled into something bigger for their lives. And God did amazing things through these people in Hebrews chapter 11. See, I hate to break the news to you, but Wonder Woman's not real. She was Miss Israel, I understand. She was in the IDF. Wonder Woman's not real. Spider-Man's not real. But these people were real, these people are real, and what they did has had a lasting impact, even in our world that we live in today. For the next weeks, we want to do a series called Heavenly Heroes. And each week, we just want to study these people, look at these people's lives, see what it is about them, and try to learn from them for our own faith journeys, right? All of us is on a faith journey. All of us is in our own seasons of faith. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to go through Hebrews chapter 11 and just look at certain people in the Bible and then look at these people and say, how can these people encourage me today? So today, we're going to start with Abraham. Is there any better individual to look at in the Bible than Abraham? He's called a friend of God in the Bible. It's written in the Bible, Abraham, a friend of God. Can you think of any better accolade than that? Would you love it to be written in heaven that your name is there, friend of God? That's huge, isn't it? Abraham is known in the Scriptures as a friend of God. Well, who is Abraham? We can read about Abraham in the book of Genesis. But in Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament, it picks three things of Abraham's life and talks about them. Kind of does a flyover. When you read in Genesis, you're going to see all the warts of Abraham, all the mess-ups and the screw-ups of Abraham. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, they don't talk about those. They just do this flyover and say, check out Abraham, a man of amazing faith. And it just names three things in Abraham's life that's mentioned. And this morning, we're just going to look at what these three things were. And so, if you have your notes out this morning, I encourage you to take notes, and afterwards, you can kind of reflect back on this, go out to lunch today, or be with family tonight, or if you're in a Rebel growth group that's still meeting, even though it's broke for summer, you can just talk about this, and there's just great stuff. But write this down. If we want to take a peek at Abraham, write this down. Abraham hears God's voice, and he just follows him. It's just the very beginnings. There's like this progression of Abraham's journey with God in Hebrews. And the first one just begins when Abraham first hears God. And it says this, and we just read this morning. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Great insight into Abraham. When Abraham first hears God's call in his life, he's living in modern-day Iraq, in the land of Ur, in the city of Ur, and he hears God's voice. There's no Bible. Thousands of years ago, people, before there was any written word, any scripture, any Bible, Abraham hears the voice of God in his life, and he believes God and follows God. And I love that verse. It says he believes there's got to be something more than life than this. There has to be a city, a foundation that's built on something higher by God than what he was experiencing. We get an insight into who Abraham was. Thousands and thousands of years ago, God speaks to him. You know, people like to know where they're going, and people like to choose their way. But Abraham leaves his country and his father's house and travels to modern-day Israel. And there he and his family live in tents their whole life as sojourners, as immigrants in another land. To leave people, to leave the certainties that we know, and to go out into what we don't know, relying on nothing other than God's word, is the essence of faith. Think about that. To leave what we know and to journey off into what we don't know, relying on nothing else than God's word, is the very essence of faith. And Abraham did that. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, before there was even a Bible, Abraham is a man of faith. Abraham and his wife, in a very old age, come to Israel. And when Abraham gets to the promised land, what does he ask of God? Now what? Now what? I'm here, I've traveled, this is the place. What now? Now that I'm here, I've walked in faith, I've left everything, and now that I'm here, now what, God? What do you want from me, right? Notes number two. Abraham and Sarah hear God's voice and believe him for the impossible. Once they're in the promised land, they believe him for the impossible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 and 12. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, that means he's not having, you know, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as countless as the sands on the seashore. The word promise, do you notice that word in the text? When Abraham gets to the promised land, he says, now what, God, right? And in Genesis, it just builds on this overfly. And let's just read Genesis 2, 1 through 6. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is in your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, look up at the stars in the sky. Count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And you know what? It says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he was credited to him as righteous. Abraham, you're in the land that I'm giving you, and your offspring, your descendants, a great nation of people will come from you, people as numerous as the stars in the sky. Have you lately had an opportunity to go look at the stars in the sky? Have you lately been able to get away from the city lights and to go out maybe in a moonless night when a complete darkness? Have you had the opportunity to do this lately? Can you imagine Abraham? He has all these questions about his creator. He's walked in faith. He's in this place he doesn't know about. He's old, and he keeps hearing that God's going to make him a great nation. And he's like, how is this going to happen? And God says, hey, Abraham, look up there. Do you see it? I promise you that your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Abraham looks up, and what does Abraham do? I believe you. I believe you. Simple faith. And what happened to Abraham at that moment? God credited him as righteous. Abraham, you're righteous. You're righteous. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament loves this moment in the life of Abraham. In the book of Galatians, in the third chapter, the Apostle Paul is arguing about after Christ had come and after he had risen from the dead and the cross and all that. He is in modern-day Turkey, and he's arguing that our faith in Jesus, we are saved by belief in Christ and nothing else. It's not Jesus plus you doing some religious work. It's not you believing and doing A, B, C, D in order to be saved. The Apostle Paul says, do you remember Abraham? The Apostle Paul says this in Galatians chapter 3. So he says, so also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. He believed him, he was made righteous. Understand then, Paul says, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. That's me. I'm a Gentile believer. I'm a Gentile. I'm not a Jewish man. I'm a Messianic Gentile who has given my life to following a Jewish rabbi who I believe is a Messiah. I am a Gentile. I'm not a Jew, but I believe in a Jewish Messiah. The Apostle Paul says, I have been accredited as righteous by faith in Jesus as a Gentile, just as anyone else. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Paul argues that we are made righteous the same way that Abraham was. Abraham, do you see the stars in the sky? Do you see them? I promise you that your descendants from your own body will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Abraham looks up, he says, you know what? I believe you, God. And God says, righteous. Righteous. You are credited as a righteous man. 4,000 years later, 3,000 years later, 2,000 years later, let's see, Abraham, kind of around there. For you and I in our faith journey, we hear the message of Jesus sometime in our own life, and we listen to Christ and what he did on the cross and the Messiah and the prophecies of Christ, and we come to this place. And someday when you and I said, Jesus says, I will take all your sins away from you and place them upon myself, and I will die for you so you won't have to, because a holy God has made me the sacrifice. And when you heard that, and the day that you accepted Christ, be it when you were 4 years old, or 20 years old, or 65 years old, God says, righteous. You are righteous. By trusting and believing in me, you're righteous. Paul says, same thing that happened to Abraham, the man of faith, happens to all people when they accept Christ, when they believe God. It's beautiful, people. It's beautiful. Hey, Abraham, you see the stars in the sky? You're going to have a kid. Abraham's like, dude, I'm 90. Even worse, Sarah's like 90. You know, I think Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 when they had kids. Is that possible? She's had menopause. That's over. It's done. Guess what? Sarah's like, you won't believe this, I'm pregnant, right? It's called the promise. God made a promise to Abraham and to Sarah, and in their old age, they'd have a son. And they did have a son, and their son's name is Isaac, right? And he's called the son of the promise. The son of the promise, which has a lot of theological things you could run with. He's the miracle baby. They believed him for the impossible happened. They're walking by faith. God is faithful. They've left their land, they've come here, they're seeing God do miracles, and this is all beautiful. It's in the life of Abraham. And isn't it wonderful? Does Abraham's story end there? Answer? I wish it did. For many people, there's a third flyover of Abraham's faith, and it's a progression of faith. Hey, I believe you, I believe you. Wow, I believe you in this, I'll even believe you in this. What happens one day is very difficult for us to understand, or many people to understand. And you can write this down. Abraham hears God's voice and trusts him at any cost. It says this in Hebrews chapter 11. One day God asked Abraham to do something that is unheard of. It says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. God one day tells Abraham to take his son and to sacrifice him. Excuse me? Can you please say that again? I'm losing my hearing. Did I hear you correctly, God? What do you want me to do? The son, the promised son that this nation and the stars in the sky, the seed, you want me to sacrifice him? Can you see Abraham kind of scratch his head? Abraham, the man of faith, right? Kind of hears this and says, this isn't right. What's he going to do, people? What's his options? If God tells you to do something, what's your options? Abraham, I love the commentary. He says he calculates. God's doing something I don't quite understand, and I'm just going to trust him in it no matter what. He can even raise the dead. He's God, right? So Abraham takes his son up to where the Temple Mount is, Moriah, right? He takes his son up where Jesus was tried, where the temple would be later built. And Abraham is going to go through with it. He's going to offer up his son. And at the last minute, God says, stop. Stop. And there is this sacrifice that's in the thickets, and God provides a sacrifice, and he says, Abraham, I was just what? What was God doing to Abraham, people? God was doing something to Abraham's faith. What was God doing to Abraham's faith? Does anyone know what he was doing? He was testing his faith. Did you know that God tests our faith? Did you know that God does this? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, we read that our faith is compared to gold in the eyes of heaven. You know, we as human beings value many things on this planet, and one of them's precious metals. How many people was given gold on your wedding day? I'm just curious. If you have a wedding band up that's of gold, would you please raise, just put your hand up? There it is, right? You see him? It's interesting. See, we as human beings, we value many things on earth, and one of them's precious metals. We even give precious metals on very special days, like wedding days. God says that our faith is as precious to him, even more so than gold is to us. And God at times will even test our faith. Take notes. Ready? Your faith in God is of great value to him. You need to know this. God says that your faith in him is more important than gold. Why? I've thought about this. Why? Why is it so important to God that that you would believe him and trust in him? Have you ever really thought this through? Hey, how many people in here are parents? How many of you in here, how important is it to you that your kids trust you as a parent? How many people in here as a parent says, that doesn't bother me, I don't care if my kid trusts me or not, it just has no value to me whatsoever? You know, and I've thought about this. It's like God says, Frankie, your faith in me is great value to me. Well, why? And you just begin to swim down this. You know, there was a time in our life when my littlest son, Jeremiah, was on a bike that even had training wheels on it. And one day I was out in the yard, and I was watching him riding his bike, and he was coming down our driveway. And just then, a car was coming down the street. We had a car parked right in front of our house. And this guy was speeding, coming down the street. And I'm watching almost slow motion, like the worst day a father could ever have. I'm seeing this guy, and I'm watching my little boy going down. And I yelled at my son, Jeremiah, stop! And I had fear in my voice. And he hit the brakes, and this car went by. If my son had not had listened to me, he would have been hit. Probably would have been killed. You see, I just don't want my son to love me. I want my son to trust me, to have faith in me and what I'm saying, because it's good for his life. Think about it. Why is it so important to God that our faith in him is like gold? Why? Why is that so important to him? Our trusting in the Lord, obeying the Lord, is for our own good, people. It's for our own well-being. If we can hear God's voice and trust in him, your life's going to be better. The best life you can live is the one that God has for you. And if you would listen to him and trust him, it'll be a good life. Listen to this. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. The Bible says without faith, you can't even please God. You have to believe that God exists, and God's a rewarder of those who seek him. Our faith is so important to God. You know, think about it. You know, we have people in your life story. What are the times in your life story when you walked by faith? Was there ever a time in your life when you just walked in faith and trusted in God? Maybe when the days when you first heard the gospel and you believed, man, you were rewarded. You wait till you die, you're going to see. I mean, but as we walk with the Lord, there are times, you know, there are times in my life, and I remember as a young believer in the Lord, And I would cross into Mexico for the first time and go on a missions trip. And I'm like, well, you want me to cross? Okay, I'll go, you know, and you go work at this orphanage. I remember when I was at Biola, and there was this group from Biola going to the Dominican Republic to go work at a leper colony in an orphanage and to share Christ in prisons. And I'm like, I'm going to raise funds and go do that. And I did. Do you want to know who was rewarded for going on that trip? Me. As I walked in faith, God loved it. When we take steps of faith, God rewards our steps of faith. There are people right now in the mission field from our church in the Philippines, and I love it when John Huang plays a mean piano. Am I right? John's not with us today because he's in the Philippines. John works at Cox. John's a wonderful brother, him and Priscilla and Allie. John tells me, I need to go. Every time when our church goes to the Philippines, I need to go because it centers me. And he says, every time I go, I go there trying to bless other people, but it's God who blesses me. It's true. When you walk with the Lord, God will reward you by faith. We take steps of faith, and God is the rewarder of our faith. God loves it when we trust in Him. God says, when you believe in me, it's gold. It's gold. And there are times when God will test our faith at times that is even harder than others. You know, it's real. I don't like testing. Do you? Does anyone like testing? Anyone? You know, when I was a professor, I was teaching at Biola. I didn't have my students come up to me and say, will you please give me a test today? If they did, I would think they were nuts, and I would be happy to oblige and give them something I promised they'd fail. What idiot would ask for a test? But God tests our faith. And sometimes there's lower degrees of testing and higher degrees of testing. I'll tell you what, Abraham, to be tested with the death of his own son is off the charts. Amen? And here's Abraham going, you're doing something, God. I mean, he knew the Lord. He's walked with the Lord to where he would believe God even at this journey. See, now I got to tell you something. Whenever I think of Abraham, it becomes radically personal to me. And if you're new here this morning, and we welcome you here, we're so glad you're here. All people go through times of testing. There is a time in my life when Cinda and I went through a time of testing. And it happened when our middle son, Jordan, was 6 years old. When Jordan was 6 years of age, we noticed one day, Cinda noticed at first that his right eye was growing out from his face. And you could look down and you could see his eye coming out. And as soon as Cinda looked at me and she says, look from this angle, look down, my heart skipped. I'm like, oh no. Doctor's appointments. Our little six-year-old boy, we find out that he's got a tumor behind his right eye. And the doctor says, we don't know if it's cancer or not, but we need to go do surgery and remove this tumor from his right eye. And so we just can't come in from the side because of the optic nerve. We need to come in from the top, so we're going to do a craniotomy on him. We're going to move the dura back in the brain. We're going to remove the tumor, and we're going to hope it's not cancer. And it's bad day for me. We prayed, we anointed with oil, we asked God to heal, and I went through a really dark time in my own spiritual journey. I went through the dark night of the soul, as C.S. Lewis would say. Have you ever had your faith tested? And I remember struggling. I'm a pastor, and I'm mad at God, FYI. I'm struggling with this. Why, Lord? And my friend John, who was when I was a brand new believer in Christ, him and I were in an apartment together in Dana Point, and John was this wonderful brother. He was my Paul, and I was a young Timothy. And one day, John, who is now living in Venezuela at the time, he does missions work with street children. And he was reading in his Bible about Abraham and Isaac. And he sensed the Holy Spirit saying, you need to call Frank. So here I am in Irvine getting a phone call from my buddy down in Venezuela. And he says, hey, Frankie, it's John. Hey, John. And he says, man, I heard about Jordan, how's things going? And I told him all the medical stuff and kind of the journey. And then he says, you know, he goes, I was reading the scriptures today and I felt God needs me to call you. He said, Frank, he goes, when I met you, you were a man that completely surrendered your life to Jesus. He says, and that was beautiful. He says, I'm kind of curious, have you ever surrendered your children to Christ? Have you ever trusted God completely with all your children to the point where you would even trust God with the death of your kids? Have you? You've trusted God with your own life and your own death. Have you trusted God with the death of your children? And as he said that to me, I cried. Closed the door, and I cried. And he was right. And I remember on my knees with him talking to me, and he prayed with me, and I said, God, I trust you even when you don't make sense. I trust you. I've trusted you with my life. I trust you with my death, and Lord, I trust you with my children, and Lord, I trust you with my son, Jordan, and God, if you want to take Jordan, then I trust you with the death of my son. And I had to say those words. And I needed to pray those words. And I remember thinking, and it's so we went to Children's Hospital, June the 28th, 2000. And I handed my son, who was 6 years old, off to the doctors. And I remember thinking, what's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is they knock him out, and he wakes up in paradise, and we have to deal with this the rest of our lives, right? That's the worst that can happen. And I had to fight and come to a place of telling God, God, if you choose to do this, I still will trust you. And I told him that. I told him that. And I'll tell you what, people, the family right in front of us who had a little girl that was going in for surgery right in front of Jordan, and we were all in the waiting room, and that little girl went into surgery, and she died in surgery, and the doctor came out and told mom and dad that their little girl died, and there's a sound that comes from a mom that is not of this world. And I remember looking at my wife, and she looked at me, and we just kind of, right? Dr. Feldman. Never forget his name. He comes out, and they're still crying, and the chaplain's on its way. Feldman comes over and says, your son's fine. And he doesn't even have cancer. It was a bony tumor, and he's removed. And I'll never forget. It's almost like a nightmare that never happened if I don't have the pictures. I remember when we walked out of the hospital and Jordan saw himself in a mirror and he threw up. And he said, Dad, no one's going to like me anymore. Look at me. I look like a freak. And I said, Jordan, Disney came out with Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, and he thought that Darth Maul looked like him and then he looked cool. Thank you, Disney. Can you imagine the faith of Abraham that he would actually go and do that himself? Abraham, do you trust me? Yes, Lord. Then take your son, your one and only son, up, and we're going to... I need you to trust me with his death. And Abraham does that. You know, I feel like sometimes like God stretches us like rubber bands. He stretches our faith to see what we're made of. He'll take you and say, I'm glad you love me and I'm glad you trusted me. How about now? 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 And people, we go, I hate to tell you the bad news this morning. God, your faith in God is so important to him, and he values it so much that without your faith, you cannot please God. As a matter of fact, without faith, you will not be made righteous in God. And God at times, I hate to tell you this, but he's even going to test your faith. Jesus' half-brother, James, says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. God tests our faith to see what we're made of. In John chapter 6, Jesus is there on the Sea of Galilee, and there's all these people following him, 5,000 at least of men alone, and he looks over at Philip. He says, Philip, let's feed these people. What would you recommend we do to feed these people? And Philip says, well, we'd have to have like 600 denarii worth of bread. And it says Jesus was testing him, for he already knew what he was intending to do. Jesus was testing Philip. Well, what was he testing with Philip? His faith. His faith. His faith. His faith. Has God tested your faith? When was the last time God tested your faith? You want to know what you're made of? You look at a tea, you got to stick it in hot water to see what it's made of. God at times tests our faith, people, to see what we're made of. And Abraham did a pretty good job. Abraham was not perfect. Go read Genesis. But he was a man that trusted the Lord when he heard God's voice. He was a man that would trust God for the impossible. He was a man that would believe in God at all cost. And God would say, he's my friend. I like this guy. I can test him and he won't break. I can use this person. You know what's so funny is Abraham was taken up to this specific mountain in Jerusalem and asked to sacrifice his son. And when he was willing to do it, God said, just testing. But you know what? Thousands of years later, God took his son up to that same area. And God sacrificed his son at that same place. For who? For you. Jesus has reconciled us to the Father, and our sins, which are many, will never be counted against us, because all of your shame and guilt and sin fell upon Christ, and he bore your sins in his body. Jesus does this for you because he loves you. Christ is your sacrifice. For us to accept him and to believe in him, the day that you hear what Jesus did for you and the day you say, I believe that in my life, God says you are righteous. Not because of you, but because of him. It's his righteousness being imputed to you as you've accepted him in your life. And you are now a man of faith, even a Gentile. Isn't that beautiful? How's your faith? I'm curious. If God looks at, in Hebrews 11, here's Abraham's faith, and it said, wow, this was time, and this was time, and this was time, and it's spoken of, and so these amount of faith. How's your faith? Have you accepted Christ? Have you heard? Have you been made righteous? God tells you that he's forgiven you through his son. Do you look up at him and say, you know what, I believe you. Have you done that in your life? That was the beginning of your faith journey. Have you walked with God? Have you seen that God is a rewarder of your faith as you trust him every day for your life? Have you seen that God's rewarded your faith? Are you in a time of testing in your faith? Are you in a time of going, I have no idea what God's doing right now? What are you going to do, run away? Tell God to stuff it? Or are you going to trust him? See, superheroes, they're not, in the Bible, they're just people that trusted God. And because they trusted God, they were entered into a deeper meaning and purpose for their lives, and they were able to do incredible things because of their faith in the Lord. Read Hebrews chapter 11 this week. How's your faith? What we want to do as we end this service, I want to sing the song called In Control. And it's a wonderful song. And I'm going to ask for the worship team to come up here as we sing this. And I want for you just to sit back today and to reflect on this song, to reflect on this message, to look at the person of Abraham, and maybe you can begin to reflect upon your own life. Maybe you can be open and authentic and honest before God today and say, you know, God, today I hear this message, and I recognize that my faith in you is of great value to you. I'd love for you to reflect back on the days when you first believed in Christ. I'd love for you to reflect back on the days when God has rewarded your faith and how you've taken steps of faith with him. And you know what? If you're here today and you're just going through a really dark time, maybe you're in a time of testing. And maybe you're at a time of maybe even telling God, God, I'm a rubber band and I'm about to break. You cannot do this anymore. Maybe you're at one of those seasons in your life. You know, during this song, I'm going to ask for the leadership to come up and stand with me here in front of the podium, up in the balcony. If you're here today and you just need someone to pray for you, if you're here today and maybe you haven't yet received Christ, and maybe today's the day you want to say yes to Jesus and what Jesus has done for you, and you want to bring that into your life, you come up here and let us pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you're going, you know what? I'm just in a time of testing, and I'm just going to ask for you to pray for me today. Maybe you're here today and there's just good things going on in your life, and you want to come before somebody and just say, God, I just want to give you praise.
If you're here today during this next song, you need prayer, come forward and receive prayer. So I'm going to ask for Mike and Pat to come up and stand with me for my wife, Cindy, my brother, Mike. I'm going to ask for Pastor Graham and BJ to come up. We're just the leaders of the church. Up in the balcony, we've got Pastor Vince that's going to be up there. We've got Casey and Beth. If you just need prayer in your life, we'd be honored to pray with you. Maybe you need physical healing. People, our Jesus can break the chains in a person's life. Our Jesus can heal bodies. And our Jesus sets people free. If you're here today and you just need prayer, let us pray for you. He's in control. He's in control. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the amazing life of Abraham. And Lord, as we reflect upon our own faith journeys, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your patience with us. We thank you, God, that you as a father would just continue to look down upon your children and you teach us your ways and you lead us in your truth. Lord, we recognize that you're in control this morning. You always have been, and you always will be. You're sovereign God. As Abraham called you sovereign, we call you sovereign God. We believe in you. We declare you as sovereign this morning in Jesus' name.